God, even assuming that you somehow had your life, if not from God, what resources would be available to you with which to have gained the things that you have?
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? I was blessed this week. I had a lot of family over. We had 40 people together for kind of an early Thanksgiving dinner this week. Had a great time with that. Had a lot of other things to attend to. So there was just lots of stuff, and it was a busy week. And as a result, I did not make a sermon transcript, which is my usual practice. Now, I want you to know, I don't need a transcript to preach. I need a transcript to limit me. When I have a transcript, I know about how long the sermon's going to be. Right here, right there, that's my notes for today. I have no idea. I tried it in the 8 o'clock service, and we ran a little bit over, and I have no idea that it's going to be the same even this time, so we'll see how that goes. I had originally intended to preach the first chapter of 2 Timothy, following up on the series that we did on 1 Timothy, but things have changed a little bit. Next week, David Atkins and family will be here with us to give us their farewell from the mission field as their time comes to an end. They're participating in Team Expansion Taiwan. And then the week after that will be Youth Sunday, and then we'll be starting the whole Christmas thing, about which I'm not complaining because I love to preach the Christmas season too. But the point is, if I preached the first chapter of 2 Timothy today, it would be like 7-8 weeks before I got to the second chapter. And that seemed like spreading it out a little bit too much, so I just set that aside and decided this is going to be my one opportunity on Sunday morning this season to preach about Thanksgiving. And I want to start with a little story. I usually tell stories about me. I want to make it clear that this story is not about me for reasons that should become evident. There was a man who had a father-in-law who didn't appreciate anything he did. This is not about me, Jim. Father-in-law always made negative comments about everything that the man had and did, and it wore a little thin. One day, the man acquired a retriever puppy, and he raised it up, and it became the most fabulous, fantastic, outstanding duck-hunting dog that he had ever not only had, but heard tell of. And he thought, my father-in-law likes duck hunting. I'm going to take my father-in-law duck hunting and show this dog off. He'll have to say something nice about this dog. And he took him, and they shot their first duck, and the dog was over the side of the boat, and I kid you not, ran across the surface of the water, never sank beneath his paws, got the duck, skittered across the water, right back into the boat. He looked at his father-in-law. His father-in-law said nothing. They shot another duck, and the dog did the same thing, right across the surface of the water, retrieved the duck right back across the surface of the water into the boat. The father-in-law said nothing. This happened a third time, and the fellow couldn't stand it anymore. He says, well, Pop, you got to tell me, what do you think of my dog? And the father-in-law shook his head and said, not much of a swimmer, is it? Jim's been staying with me all week. This has nothing to do with that. In fact, Jim has been very helpful to me this week. He's helped me on my scrap projects and other things and never said a word of complaint. So I just want you to know that story is not associated at all. Thanksgiving, I think it's a holiday, sometimes has it rough. It doesn't get its fair shake. It is misunderstood and underappreciated. That is so commercially used to. I mean, used to, at least there would have been by now at least one or two commercial advertisements for something that had kind of a Thanksgiving theme, at least somebody in a pilgrim costume or something. I don't believe that I have seen or heard one Thanksgiving advertisement so far this season. Anybody else catch any? It's not just me then. You get one? Kathy's heard one? Okay, one. One person here has heard one. Commercially, Thanksgiving gets skipped over. It's an opportunity to do two things. One, to buy up all the leftover Halloween candy cheap. Two, to start your big shopping days for Christmas. In other words, to clean up after the last holiday and get ready for the next holiday. And maybe somewhere in the middle we will fit a family meal in there. But commercially, even for the sale of turkeys, Thanksgiving seems not to be emphasized or remembered these days. Institutionally, I'm not sure that it's any better off. Most of us, at least people my age, have been taught in school the history of Thanksgiving. And I doubt that it really is taught much now. I'd have to talk to some of the people who are in school currently and find out. But I'd be surprised to find out that it's taught. And I don't think people remember it. It goes all the way back to 1621 and William Bradford, who made the proclamation that instituted the celebration of the first Thanksgiving. And I want you to know that, of course, they were thankful they had it so easy. Right? 1621, the people that came over on the Mayflower, I mean, they had a piece of cake. No. A lot of them died on the way, on the boat. And when they instituted Thanksgiving, they had had two winters in the New World in which about half of them died. And the ones that were left were not overweight. And they had tried to set up a government, and it had flopped miserably. And they had had to rewrite it. And they were only now beginning maybe to get things right. And what they were looking at was another year in which the survivors, weak and sick, could look forward to working like dogs so that they could get past barely eking out an existence. And they got down on their knees and thanked their God for the opportunity. Now, having heard that story, how many of us feel ashamed of the level of our personal gratitude? I do. Thanksgiving proclamations came up again from the lips of George Washington in 1789. The country was still new, and again, I could say, well, it was easy for Washington. They had it so good. And you would say, not so much. They had, of course, come through the Revolutionary War. But it was hard. Those early leaders pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. And let me tell you, some of them lost their lives. Some of them lost their fortunes. They started the process rich and ended it poor. And much else was lost. But they had come through. And there were frustrating failures. You know, if you read that portion of history, you find out that Jefferson and Washington had tried really hard to see that the besetting sin of this country, slavery, was abolished in its earliest formal days. They had not been able to get it done. Whether they were right or wrong, you can judge. I don't know, but they kept coming to it, and it seemed to them like a choice. Abolish slavery or preserve the Union. Abolish slavery or preserve the Union. We'll preserve the Union for the moment. and will abolish the evil of slavery later. They had failed again and again in that attempt. And they wanted to prevent political parties. They thought that political parties would probably be the ruination of the country, but still in the first generation of governance, the Hamiltonians and the Jeffersonians became what essentially is our two-party system today, and we all know how well that's worked out. And they weren't happy about it then. And if you think we have conflict, in those days, Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel. I think we might still see that if dueling weren't illegal since that time. But they regarded that as a great personal failure, and they saw that the country's continuing future was somewhat tenuous, and there were still great obstacles to be overcome, and slavery somehow, some way to be dealt with sometime. And they got down on their knees and they thanked their God above for the possibility that this new country could become something special in the earth. When I tell you that story, how many of you feel ashamed of your personal level of gratitude? Came up again. These first two proclamations were one-time shots. Thanksgiving came up again and became made a permanent annual national holiday, I believe 1863. That is correct. 1863, by the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, who again was not thankful because things had been so easy. He made the holiday annual and permanent at the conclusion of the Civil War. 500,000 dead. Brother against brother. A new breed of political opportunists ready to sweep in and pick the bones anywhere that they could. And so much rancor, hatred, and ill will that in not very many years a bullet would be sent crashing through President Lincoln's head. I don't say that he knew he was going to be assassinated, but I say that he knew the level of rancor that existed in the country at the conclusion of the Civil War, the price that had been paid. And he said, from now on, every year we're going to get down on our knees and we're going to thank our God above that he has so graciously chosen to work out his providence in our history and circumstances, regardless the cost. I conclude that we are not as grateful a people as we ought to be. And we really ought to be a grateful people. Commercially, Thanksgiving does not get its fair shake. Institutionally, Thanksgiving does not get its fair shake. We don't remember how, when, why, and where it was instituted. It's just a day to eat turkey and get the family together. Personally, Thanksgiving doesn't get its fair shake. And I kind of understand this one. Christmas is easy to get into because you're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a very special event. You celebrate the event. That's great. Easter is easy to get into because you're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a very special event. You get into the event. Thanksgiving is asking you not to celebrate an event so much as to change who you are. Because we're really good at grumbling. And not so apt to gratitude. And it is difficult to make the transition from the one to the other. Celebrate a grand event or celebrate the need to become a different people than we have been. So personally, Thanksgiving doesn't get its fair shake either. But we really should be thankful people. Scott read for us this morning 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says that we should give thanks because this is the will of God for us in Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to see the hands, and I'm, you know, we don't always all raise our hands when I ask things. And I'm going to ask you, and I really want you to think about this and raise your hand, if it is a matter of any importance to you, the kind of person that God wants you to be, His will for you, if His will for you and the kind of person you should be matters to you, raise your hand. He says, we should give thanks because this is the will of God for us in Jesus Christ. That should be enough. But there is more. We should give thanks because it is God's will for us. We should also give thanks because we have been blessed. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 asks two questions. And the first question is this: what do you have that you did not receive? And the second question is this: and if you received it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? What he's asking us to do is to be honest about this. Of all the things that you may say you have, how many of them come to you as gifts of God? Well, if not for God, as the youngsters noted so quickly this morning, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't have our lives, if not for God. If not for God, even assuming that you somehow had your life, if not from God, what resources would be available to you with which to have gained the things that you have? If not for God, even if I can somehow assume that you are here and have some resources, if not for His image in which you are created, what intelligence, wisdom, drive, and creativity would you have yourself to apply to the resources that God gave you to go along with the life that God gave you? The answer is, without the image of God in us, we would be animals. And we would have nothing of those things that we reckon blessings today. How many of us have more than we deserve? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? We are a blessed people, and the blessings come from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow, no shifting, no hint of turning. It is the will of God in Jesus Christ that we be a thankful people. We concede that we have more than sufficient blessings for which to be thankful. I will give you another reason. Gratitude is good for us. We know this from common experience with a moment's thought. Gratitude is good for us. How many of you ever really feel better for having grumbled? How many of you feel better when you have been truly grateful? How many of you ever won a bunch of friends by grumbling? How many of you can say that it's easy to win friends by being graciously grateful? How many of you feel that your spirit has ever just been ennobled and lifted up by a good session of grumbling? But that has happened to each of us, I suspect, on moments of intense gratitude. It is the will of God for us in Jesus Christ that we be a grateful people. We concede that we have plenty of blessings to be grateful for. We acknowledge that it is better for us physically, emotionally, and spiritually to be grateful than to be grumblers. And still there is more. 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke describes a story well known to you all. Jesus healed a number of lepers. Who can tell me the number? 10. All 10 went on their way rejoicing. Well, of course they did. Leprosy is and was worse then because there was no controlling it through drugs or therapies. A horrible, horrible disease. These people were turned into pariahs, cast out from society, unable to buy and sell in the normal way, living in caves, getting what they could through beggary, wearing a bell so people would know not to let them get too close to them, not to mention their fingers, toes, and noses were falling off. Of course they went their way rejoicing. They had been healed of leprosy. Of the 10, what number came back to thank Jesus Christ? 1. That's just classic, isn't it? And we get the one side. What a shame! Those 9 who went their way happy and did not stop to say, by the way, thank you for healing me of the most dread disease of my day and giving me a new life. Thanks. Thanks for that, really. That's a shame. But let me look at the other side of that for just a minute. And you read the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And you see if you don't get this same impression. Even the one who came back and said thank you to Jesus Christ blessed Christ. To bless someone is to make them happy. And even the gratitude of the one was a source of happiness to the Lord. Mark Twain, who was something of a skeptic, once said, if there is a God, we can no more affect His state of being by the actions of our remote little lives than we could affect the moon by throwing dirt clods at it. I believe Twain was wrong. I believe that by our actions and our attitudes, we can bless our God. We can make Him happy. And we can do it in few better ways than by being a grateful people. It is the will of God for us in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we have much in terms of blessings that we can be thankful for. We admit that it is good for us physically, spiritually, emotionally to be grateful rather than grumblers. And it would make God happy. How many of you would like just to make God happy? And still there is one more. Most of you know by now that I have a little litany that I repeat to myself each and every morning of my life. I have done it this morning. There are 7 things that I say to myself to begin my day. One of those 7 is this. I do not have to go to hell. You see, I deserve to, because I am a sinner. But I do not have to, because God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for my sins. And He made manifold the power of God by His resurrection from the grave, breaking the power of that same grave over me. and I do not have to go where I deserve to go. Furthermore, the next thing after that that I say to myself each morning is, I will be like Him. Like Jesus Christ. If nothing else good ever happened to me in my life, if nothing else worth holding on to ever came to me in my life, then that. Would it not be enough to deserve my gratitude day in, day out, year after year for my whole time on this earth? That I do not have to go to hell. And I will be made like my Lord Jesus Christ. For that, I'm grateful. Gratitude and grumbling, it's like the rule and the exception. And grumbling is the rule. And gratitude, the exception. If I could get that flipped, where gratitude was the rule and grumbling was the exception, I would be willing to put up with a holiday on a given Thursday in November called Grumble Giving. If we could just have 364 days of being constantly grateful and then get all the grumbling out of our system on one day, I would think that was a better arrangement. But I guess for the moment I'll take the arrangement we have, which is that we should consider this coming holiday, what is the will of God for us in Jesus Christ, and how greatly we have been blessed, and how good it would be for us to be thankful, and how it would make God happy for us to express our gratitude, and that above all else we have been saved by His grace through Jesus Christ, and become a grateful. If you would bow your heads. Father God, I ask that You begin today and this season to transform our hearts so that we become grateful according to Your will for us in Jesus Christ. Give us a fuller recognition of all that we have been given, and help us to know what is the best course for our lives. Grant to us the privilege that we should be able to make You happy by our attitudes and our actions. And show us, Lord, the way of grace through Jesus Christ that leads to communion with You forever. For we ask it in His name. Amen. If you would stand, we will have a moment of invitation. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you need to be baptized, if you're looking for a place that you can call your church home, and this would be that place, if you have some special prayer need that you would like to have addressed, if you just want to come up here and tell everybody something that you're thankful for, any of that would be great. And you'll have that opportunity as we join in.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.